This podcast is sponsored by Ramp. Are you the decision maker in your company? Consider this. For the first time in decades, there's a better option for a corporate card and spend management platform. Meet Ramp, the only corporate card and spend management system designed to help you spend less money so you can make more. With Ramp, you get full visibility into your company's spending and control who spends what with each vendor. Ramp's software collects and verifies receipts instantly to save your team valuable time. Ramp automates data entry and routine tasks with automated approvals, expense categorization and bill payments, time-consuming tasks, which means you'll stop wasteful spending and close your books in hours instead of days. Businesses that use Ramp add up to 5% to their bottom line the first year. If you're a decision maker, adding Ramp could be one of the best decisions you've ever made. Get $250 when you join Ramp for free. Just go to ramp.com/easy. ramp.com/easy. ramp.com/easy.
Cards issued by Sutton Bank and Celtic Bank, members of FDIC. Terms and conditions apply.
Oh, I got one more. I have some thoughts for you. User Dimitri. I'm not going to put your last name in here because I don't want your wife to find out about this if you have one. Aliens aren't prudes by any stretch, but even they think my neck, my back is a little much. Dimitri, we asked for bold space takes, and you chose the time to advertise to the entire internet that you won't eat pussy.
It could be that he won't eat ass.
I mean, Kia does.
He says it's a little much.
Maybe it's a back phobia.
Or maybe he doesn't want to sit. Yeah, maybe he eats necks.
I noticed that the only person on this show not defending Dimitri is Spencer. I find that upsetting.
Oh, I'm completely not on his side because Kia is a Florida fan. So naturally, I endorse her entire catalog.
And her crack.
You know, by extension, yes. Yeah.
Well, here's the other thing. Aliens are always nude as shit. So there's no way that an alien's like, ugh. Well, like, I think it's safe to assume that aliens are way more sexual and comfortable with sexuality than humans are.
But they don't even usually have cracks, right? Like the little gray, big head, big eyeball.
Do they not have cracks?
I mean, I'm sure there's stuff on the internet where they do.
Gail Carriger writes a series about aliens that have five genders, and I'm sure there's probably some cracks.
I mean, I guarantee you there's a million images on the internet of little gray men with butt cracks. But I'm just saying,
they gotta have cracks, right?
On Unsolved Mysteries, which I consider, why? How do you?
Canon,
Are they photosynthesizing instead?
How the fuck should I know? All I know is what I saw in Unsolved Mysteries, which was not butt cracks.
I'm just saying that of all the beings that are available to fuck legally right now, this dude apparently wants it known that he will not go down on you.
I would also, as a side note, say this. You never see an alien discussed as having a gigantic round ass, ever. Nobody's ever like, an alien had a large head, it had big sensitive eyes, and it had the biggest wagon I've ever seen. Should have seen the ass on this thing. Good Lord. Had that Phil Jackson, like, halfway up on the back.
That's a good
Mississippi queen, but with xenomorph.
Department of Defense confirms ass so big that you can see it from the front.
Can we go back to Phil Jackson?
Oh yeah, you know that's the we're talking about.
They always do.
That's at the end of Kings of Comedy. Remember?
Yeah, the Bernie Mac joke.
Phil Jackson got the back. Yeah, he's got the ass like halfway up his back.
Right.
Makes you walk funny. Yeah.
My nephew had one of those, a tall butt crack where when he was one year old, he'd shit his diaper and it would spray out of the back like a geyser. We had to put
a cummerbund
atop his diaper so that it would contain his tall butt crack.
So do aliens not have thick donks because they don't have ass cracks?
Aliens don't have thick donks because they don't have Waffle House.
That's why they come here. That's why they always, that's why they spend so much time hanging out here, because they're trying to get thick like us.
And that's why you always see them at like 2 in the morning. It's like, oh, here they come.
That's why you always see aliens squatting.
Yeah. I'm just trying to get a little something to fill out the jeans back there, you know?
Do you think the aliens know about the time Alex Kirshner got the Philly cheesesteak bowl?
Yeah.
At Waffle House? Do you think they laughed at that shit?
No.
Have we told this story on the show? Because you should.
I mean, I believe... God, I don't know if we can tell this story. We have to get his permission first. Let's say that.
Wow. This is a cliffhanger.
Yeah, he would want that.
He would. And the alien's sitting there going, we need this data because we're trying to compile a definitive how to build this giant dog.
The aliens watch this happen and they think, well, I guess I'm ordering it too. I'm trying to assimilate, trying to fit in.
Oh, this is not sitting well, Glorthak. It is not sitting well at all.
This is the real end of Signs, where like the big twist is like, oh, the aliens who came to the planet that's 66% water are allergic to water. Those fucking idiots. But it turns out it's actually like they got the bubble guts from ordering a bowl at Waffle House.
Our desire to grow enormous cheeks for digesting your horrible food
has overwhelmed our brains.
Has slain us and overwhelmed us.
We flew like too close to the like sun.
Flew too close to the buns.
Thickerous.
I flew too close to the buns and all low thickerous. I have crashed in a sea of my own making. Doom in the form of butter.
Welcome to the Shutdown Full Cast.
Why don't we have a beverage sponsor?
Seriously, why not?
Why don't we have a beverage sponsor? I'm open to that.
Canadian.
I would also be open to Arizona iced tea, the only tall cans.
Oh my God, we are.
Do they sell short
cans?
You can buy bottles, I think. You can buy something other than the like tall can option, the tall boy option.
Arizona tea short can.
I ask you.
Shit, we can't get the sponsors we have to pay us on time.
So I think Arizona, listen, since Arizona Iced Tea is still steady broadcasting from the 1990s, they're definitely right on our schedule. They're 30 years late already.
I just feel like, you know, at least for me personally, it's like, yeah, the way I deal with anxiety rather than go to therapy is I go to Publix and I get a big sweaty can of either green tea or Arnold Palmer half and half light. Like that's how I medicate.
Ryan joining us, by the way. I'm Spencer Hall. That's the voice of Ryan Nanny.
Sweaty Cans Nanny.
Immediately derailing the podcast.
I just want to know
a very relevant beverage.
Arizona iced tea. Where is our beverage? Like it doesn't have to be that. Clearly Canadian would be interesting
ice in
as
the
well.
Can?
But where is our goddamn beverage sponsor? That is what will make me feel like we have truly made it when we have a beverage sponsor.
How is that
sponsor.
Worse than me saying the sponsors don't pay us on time?
Just different.
Okay.
A real beverage, which, by the way, this is truly part of your native culture. That would be the 813 Tampa that you would represent a drink which is geographically identified but not authentic, i.e.,
no.
There's Outback Steakhouse.
Oh, you're telling me it's not really made in Arizona?
Outback Steakhouse. Tampa is the home of Outback Steakhouse.
Yeah.
Which I understand you can never say a bad word. We wouldn't say anyway because they did invent the Bloomin' Onion.
They did have that naked lady in Ocala who was throwing bottles off the bar.
What?
They did.
Oh, you haven't seen this?
A 52-year-old
no?
lady who,
yeah.
I have to say, 52 was not the age I put on her. That was not.
In
I was
which
like,
direction?
I thought she was like 30, maybe.
So she's been pickling herself, I think, is probably the answer.
You know, I wanted to say a lot of things have gone wrong for that young lady or, you know, middle-aged lady in her
Spencer,
life.
Just dig up.
Conditioning and skincare. She appeared to be in fine shape other than the fact that she was nude and throwing bottles. Like, she's fit. That's what I'm saying.
Fit enough to get up on that bar, yeah.
Yeah, and throw bottles at 52 without using like a stepladder or grabbing her back. That's what I do.
Her name is Tina. She's 53, and she went into two different. She went into something called Moho Grill as well. I don't know what that is, and I don't think there's a video of
Ryan,
that.
Ryan, when you said she went into something called, I thought you were going to name some kind of fugue state.
Yeah.
And for a split second, I thought there was a psychological condition called Moho Grill.
She went Super Saiyan Floridian, if you know what that means.
Okay, yes, I can understand this.
Yeah.
Yeah, and she's just like fully nude, and I think one of the disturbing elements of it is that it appears to be maybe 10:30 in the morning.
Mm-hmm. No, they just opened that place.
Yeah, there's nobody there, and there's yeah. Anyway,
okay. Do we think Rise and Grinder, or do we think this is the night before's blood alcohol?
Rise and Grinder
carrying over.
Rise and Grinder.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
Yeah, I hope everything's going well for her now, because she appeared to be having a very bad time. I don't think you don't end up naked throwing bottles at the Moho Grill in Ocala unless something's gone very wrong for you. So
thank you for that brief conclusion.
Some people won't go there, but I will.
What if she was a T-800? Sent back through time by the Resistance, naked as all Terminators are, and for some reason that was the mission she was sent. You must go back and destroy this Ocala Outback Steakhouse. That's where Skynet gets started and learns how to party.
You're positing an entire state, like Florida, as the test state for T-800s, right? Like, yes, achieve this initial like mission, and then we'll scale you up for another mission.
Yes,
which would explain a lot of behavior in the state of Florida.
T-800s everywhere you look.
We've made this really uncharismatic, terrible one. Get elected governor. Come back. Come back and prove that you could be elected governor. Well,
I'm
he did it.
Spencer Hall, and this is the internet's only college football podcast.
Yes, the internet's
in search
only
of beverage sponsor.
Podcast.
In search of beverage sponsors, reach out.
Would you choose Arizona iced tea, Ryan Sweaty Cans Nanny? Is that who you'd want? Is that who you'd want to be our sponsor if we could pick anybody?
I think it would be spiritually consistent with who we are as a group.
You know who else is lying in the tall grass waiting to reveal themselves is Jason Kirk.
Hello, Jason Kirk.
Am I?
My co-host. How are we this week?
I'm shopping for sneakers. Apparently, I was searching to try and find if Arizona does have short cans and was rerouted, discovering that Adidas had a line with Arizona tea. These shoes are tremendous. I'm trying to find.
They just got three lines, don't they?
There's pink ones that I'm trying to find. It looks like the best price is $90. So trying to find the pink Arizona tea sneakers for less than $90 online. So as soon as they're our sponsor, they could simply send me a pair of those and they'll be good on my end for the month.
Hang on. Let me see if I can tweet at them.
Jason, is that who you would pick as the signature beverage of this program?
I'll pick whoever pays us to say that they are the official sponsor of this show. Yeah. So, yes.
I really wish Jolt.
That is who I would pick. And whenever we do have a beverage sponsor, it'll be easy to simply edit this right here.
Wait, Spencer, do you want to... I think all of you have more followers than I do. Does somebody with more followers than me want to tweet at Arizona Iced Tea?
Sure, I'll tweet at Arizona Iced Tea.
Arizona Iced Tea, would you like to sponsor our podcast? Please reply, this is for work.
Yeah, I am not a quack.
Okay. I have Five Alive on the other line right now. You must act quickly.
Oh, Five Alive would be way more like
on brand.
Geographically us, yeah.
Yeah, that really would be way more on brand.
Or Tang would be good.
The drink of astronauts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That is our thing.
I think, I would want the legend. If I could get anybody to sponsor this, I'd be Cheerwine.
I also think that would have been a great segue.
And we'd recommend it for other things.
Yeah, no, like, we're just going to keep going.
No, I was just going to say,
Yeah.
Yeah, just keep going. I don't actually know where that segue was supposed to go, Holly
the
Anderson.
The drink of astronauts!
The drink of astronauts. There we go. Thank you.
Do you know Split Zone actually rehearses their transitions, and we laugh at them for this constantly.
Wait,
but
are we getting worse?
Oh yeah,
I think we're getting worse. Tonight we're going to adjust and actually take this segue after missing it, backing up down the freeway, causing a 15 car pileup.
Just keep going
and just hopping right onto it.
Just look, we're going to do the Tampa thing. Do it, make it a hit and run.
We are going to be discussing hot space takes because there is something in the water this week. Jeff Bezos, I'm to understand he is the head of a company called Amazon.
Already in the water, he had a little bit of a rough landing.
Amazon is made of water.
Yeah.
Many people say.
there we go. And flowing right through it is a man having what I'm told is a midlife crisis so large he's going to shoot himself and his brother into space.
I think it was it 2018? I've been told today that I have advocated before for Elon's space career on this show several years ago, because my thesis at the time was that he was just going to keep shooting rich idiots into space, and that would increase the odds that one of them might not come back and we might have a moment's peace.
Yeah, and this business model may actually have been taken to an extreme. It's weird.
A business model taken to an extreme?
Yeah, and stolen by someone.
God, man, it's been in plain sight all the time, but we as a nation, nay, as a global society, have really glossed over the fact that this is ultimately a dude named Jeff.
Yeah. We shouldn't.
And he's finally starting to act like it.
That's what he...
Quit my job going to space.
What am I going to do?
What's Jeffer than that?
His middle name is Preston.
Oh, and he should be like a rich Jeff. I mean, he's rich already because his middle name is Preston.
He should be JP Bezos.
I'm telling you, he's still going to be 5'7 in space. That's not going to help.
Is he 5'7?
He's 5'7.
Goodness gracious.
Might explain some things. Mm. Yeah. Guess what? Gravity doesn't help that. He's still going to be 5'7. If anything, the loss of bone matter and density when you come back, probably going to take it to 5'6.5. Might want to rethink this, buddy. On that rocket compression, it's not going to be good.
I was at the doctor today, and they said I was half an inch taller than I thought I ever was.
Are you growing?
Maybe.
Oh, God. That'd be awesome if you could debut in the NBA.
If I could fatten lengthwise, it'd be amazing.
That's called growing. Did you just come up with a new word for growing taller? I'm going to fatten lengthwise.
I don't think I'm supposed to be getting taller is the thing.
8 foot Holly. 8 foot Holly.
If I sleep in like a casing, will all of it just come out the top?
I need the Arizona iced tea big can because I'm 9 feet tall.
I'd be so rude if I was that tall.
Ignore me.
Don't make it weird. I'm 11 feet tall and I endorse iced tea.
Why would I sound like that if
I don't know. Maybe your voice box would fatten lengthwise.
Is this about how I've had laryngitis for 5 weeks because one of your fucking sons coughed in my mouth?
Yes.
No, 4 weeks.
Probably.
4 weeks now.
It's
the anime dog's son, for those of you scoring at home.
So we were thinking, like, is space really, you know, because I'm sure a bunch of people will come on board and go, ah, this billionaire is spending money to go into space. What a noble pursuit. And somebody was like, you know, space is overrated. And I thought, that's a hot space take to say, you know, space is pretty overrated. But it turns out there's way, way bolder space takes than that. And we will get to them. Because our listeners had more than a few, okay? I will tell you, it starts off at a bare minimum of Mercury is a bullshit rock. that's where we start with our bold space takes. But I did want to talk about a couple of things first, okay? Because...
Oh, thank God we're out of the segue.
I did actually
we've wasted an entire segue.
You know,
like
there are
three
notes.
Times somehow.
We've been recording for 26 minutes.
I know.
You made the notes for the show is the thing.
Did anyone else watch the United States-Mexico match?
Men's soccer?
Yes.
No.
Ugh, not in this house.
Oh, my God.
Au contraire, men's beer throwing.
You missed the most full cast match of all time. It was, because I didn't, it was.
I watched the very end of it.
It was, oh,
because
man.
Because I was confused that it was 1 a.m. and it was still on.
I'm going to list everything that happened in this game and exactly how full cast it was. And you will have no choice but to agree with me. Because, one, the United States men's team, when did they give up the first goal? They gave up the first goal in the second minute. Like, and here we go. And we're down 1-0. Oh, God. Yeah. Down 1-0 in the second minute. Come back.
We need context.
United States-Mexico, Confed Cup League Final.
Okay, nobody listening to this knows what those things
big
are.
Big match between us and Mexico. Historic okay, rivals. El Tri.
Made-up tournament okay, that's not actually that meaningful.
Made-up tournament okay, that that isn't actually that important, but got super emotionally important all of a sudden.
People have told me in the past that this show is too insular, so I'm trying to help them learn things.
Being played in Denver, Colorado. The soccer hotbed
yes,
of
soccer
Denver,
Mecca.
Colorado. Huh. With our backup goalie, by the way.
How'd that go?
Well, turns out badly, and then really well, because all of the following things happened. One, couple fights, brawls, like actual sort of tussling brawls. The opposing manager, there were two instant replay reviews, one of which the opposing manager, that would be Tata Martino, formerly of ATL United, Five Stripes for Life, he got kicked out because he touched the ref, and they red carded him. Like, just went to be like, hey, what you looking at there, buddy? And the ref was like, bloop! Touched, red card.
No, I support that. Hey,
the rule's the rule, right? So the United States ends up scoring against a generally thought superior Mexican team. Okay, most everybody's like, yeah, we don't really stand a chance in this game. Veteran experience, just better all around. We end up scoring the equalizing goal off of a header, and then the guy who scored it made a wanky motion on camera at a Mexican player, which is how you know it was good. Trash was thrown all over the place. There was virtually no security somehow in cop-heavy Denver. Like, Denver's kind of a cop town, and there was nobody stopping everybody from throwing full cans of what started out as beer, and then I think ended up as the excreted byproduct of that beer around the 78th or 80th minute. Anyway, nobody stopping them from throwing in the field. A Mexican player just got hit full in the head with what I, again, hope was beer. I suspect it was not. In an
So did Gio Reyna, who yep, scored the second goal.
Gio Reyna, who's Claudio Reyna's son, if you just want to feel 5,000 years old and are a United States soccer fan. Yeah, that's Claudio Reyna's son. Gio Reyna got hit as well. There was a controversial penalty awarded to Christian Pulisic, who absolutely buried it to give the United States a 3-2 lead. After we tied it in the 78th minute and then an extra time in the second period went 3-2, Mexico was then awarded a penalty, which, yes, the backup goalie, Ethan Horvath, blocked. And if you can watch the Spanish language announcer's rendition of this particular block, there is a noise unlike any I have heard in a soccer broadcast, and that says a lot when he blocks it. Just the, ah, yeah! It sounds like a man having his soul sucked out with some kind of hideous satanic vacuum cleaner. Just a magnificent noise. Well done.
In a bad way.
Yeah, in a bad way. He does not sound well. And the United States somehow managed to, in what amounted to 11 minutes of injury time, usually there's like 3, 4, maybe 5, there's a lot. Yeah, there were 11 minutes of injury time due to all the chaos. And on top of all this, someone ran onto the TV set, onto the Paramount set, and just was pushed, jumped, kind of a combination thereof with
Wile E. Coyote'd over the edge.
He did.
Yes.
It was so quiet.
Because the set's up on the mezzanine and looking out over the field. And that drop off, you and I know, it's at least 10 feet. Maybe more.
He can fly.
He can, or he just.
I'd be more concerned if he can land.
He anamorphed into a bird.
Oh, that's much better.
Into an águila. Into an eagle. Beautiful eagle.
Thank you for translating your native Spanish.
De nada. So that was like, those were all of the things that happened, and I am certain I am leaving other things out. It started at around 9.
Did you mention the streaker?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
There were multiple streakers.
There were multiple field invasions.
Yeah.
Over the course. Again, no security for this thing.
Wait, I think they put a soccer match between the U.S. and Mexico, and they didn't hire security? No,
I guess they'll behave. For the first time in the history of a rivalry.
In the notoriously staid atmosphere of Colorado.
I think the lesson is for U.S.-Mexico matches going forward, for concessions, you know, you remember when at some point, like maybe in the 90s, they were like, all right, we can't give you a bottle anymore. You can't have a beer bottle. We have to pour it into a cup for you. I think now we have to take the next step. And anything you order, the concessionaire has to throw in your mouth. And you have to have it. Like, if, okay, you're having some Coca-Cola, I will spray it into your mouth. and then you have to walk away. You can't leave with anything.
Isn't like this also hibachi? The state in...
Yes. Yes, I will flip a hot dog into your mouth from 10 feet away.
Isn't this also the state in which immediately prior to our Houston show, I'm going to call it last year because that's what it feels like, there was the Nebraska-Colorado game where yes. they debuted those little aluminum cups.
Yes, yes.
Which weigh maybe half an ounce each, and Nebraska fans all screamed about them being used as projectiles.
Yeah.
Those cups, by the way, are made by, some of them are made by Ball, the mason jar company, and the reason I know this is because I just saw them available in stores in Atlanta for the first time. I believe so. Now you can bring your own projectiles to the tailgate
and melt them.
They're
down.
They're not a sponsor either, but we're
melt
asking.
Them down and become Iron Man.
You can sponsor.
Shit, yes, let's, I'm Aluminium Man.
If you can literally be the title sponsor of a Mac school, you can sponsor a podcast. Ball, come on, you got this. Then I would go ahead and also recommend this.
Bowling
if
Green is sponsored by Ball.
Yes, that's
do it. Twist it.
Mm-mm. No. So, if you also did not see, our boy Valtteri Bottas,
he had a day, or he didn't have a day, I guess.
If you were up with all of the displaced college football dads and watching the Baku F1 race in Azerbaijan, our boy Valtteri Bottas. The official F1 driver of the full cast.
If you're going to say that he's ours, you have to say his name right.
Valtteri Bottas.
Our buddy Terry Bottas.
Terry yes, Bottas, a.k.a. Valtteri Bottas.
God, dude.
Yes.
It's okay to just say it the correct way. You don't have to.
So Terry
also,
Bottas.
Thank you. There you go.
There we go.
Just let it ride.
So Terry Bottas, if you go and you search how he did in the race, I think he finished like 14th or something, which is not usually where he's supposed to be because his teammate's the best driver in the world. And he's on the best team in the world. And they were on a course where, you know, he was top 10 in qualifying. There's a clip of him getting passed by like six guys because guess what Terry Bottas did? Cruised it, baby. Just cruised it. Like absolutely just had a leisurely day. Just, you know, had a little tea. Decided to let people pass him. He got passed by like six cars on one lap. Not because anything was happening with the car or anything. Just, I don't know. He just wasn't feeling it. And he still finished ahead of Lewis Hamilton. Because Lewis Hamilton on the last lap, with his brakes smoking, tried to make a turn. And then his car just kept going in a straight line. This was after like the race leader, Max Verstappen, the tiny animated Madam doll. Terrifying. Looking man. His tire exploded for no reason. Just blew up on a straightaway and took him out of the race. Hamilton could have won, but his brakes started to catch on fire. So the point being is, keep it mellow. You'll still finish ahead of your teammate. Effort is overrated. Just cruise it. Terry Bottas, a model for us all.
For effort being overrated, yeah, that is a model for us.
Absolutely. And then the last thing of note, why did Alabama extend Nick Saban? Is there any reason for them to do
extended
that?
Extended him up and down?
He fattened lengthwise?
Did they Gattaca him, is what I'm asking?
They super soldier serum him at the age of, what, 71?
I don't think we talk enough about how Gattaca made very quick plot work of just giving a dude new ankles to make him taller. Like, how did that not take off as, like, pop surgery?
Can you, I mean, yeah, I think that beats the other ways of being made taller, right? Because you could extend your, everything sounds painful and bad. You should just fatten lengthwise.
Yeah, the shin lengthening people, this is like the reverse Cotton Hill, basically. that's a thing.
What's a reverse Cotton Hill? The polyester cavern. The polyester crevasse.
Surgery to be taller. Yeah.
No, you got it.
Are you actually? Ryan, you're going to get the weirdest.
We're going to make Spencer do
it. It's called the weirdest surgery to be not Cotton Hill.
Sure. Right. Yeah.
Gattaca surgery in real life.
Double my shins. There we go.
DoubleMyShins.com.
So this
are we?
Yeah.
Are we getting too close to making Gattaca a reality? Shut up, Scientific American.
Is that, but, is that actually an article?
Nobody asked you.
You need to be more American and less scientific, it sounds like.
That movie is all about exfoliating.
Pretty much.
I'll start that, Unscientific American magazine.
Really, all he needed to do the whole movie was exfoliate
all other
better.
Magazines.
Man, people are paying.
I fucking love science magazines.
Yeah.
People are paying $76,000 for this surgery to get your bones bigger.
Wait, do people do that?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The shin, okay, the shin, bonus shin surgery.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
You can get. You can
so
also
it's just
get
like putting another Lincoln log in your shin.
Yes. That is all correct.
All they need to do is eat a Mario mushroom, but they'd rather spend all that money.
They'd rather not do the work. They don't want to put the work in. Mm-hmm.
Then you get in a fight, and that Mario mushroom surgery, gone.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm going to say something. I'm going to say something because we've been taking some shit lately. None of these people getting shin lengthening surgery are millennials.
No.
None of them. Fucking none of them.
Because
and that might only
it.
Be because we're like on our fourth recession and we're
yeah.
under 40.
Sure.
But I'm going to stand by it as a point of pride. Oh. And as somebody who is 68 and a half inches tall today.
Should we
also,
get this for Godfrey?
For a medical professional. Oh my God. We could take his shins. All we have to do is get him to pass out. It's not hard. He's got three kids now.
Take Godfrey's shit.
We're going to have to do it soon, though, because he listens to these on like a 3-week delay. Mm-hmm. So we're going to have to do it before he catches up.
I think everybody would probably be a lot nicer if every time you got into a fight and got hit, you lost 6 inches in height.
Six?
Six. Like if you get knocked.
That doesn't give you a lot of fights, though.
If you get knocked
this,
out.
This also
six
gives
inches.
The person who's doing the striking a huge compounding snowball advantage. One punch and the other person's reach is like
I'm
greatly
not seeing
diminished.
A problem here.
You,
this
wait,
results in just instant beatdowns.
Does the person winning the fight gain the height?
Oh, yeah. I assume that they took it from you.
Right. Highlander rules.
Well, I think either
what
way.
What if they take the height, but they can apply it in any direction on their body?
Now, do their arms shrink as well, the person who's lost 6 inches in height? Because if their reach remains the same, then perhaps this
it
is a weird
like
advantage.
Yeah, I agree.
Because
that
now
is
you're
the
swinging for where
problem.
Their face used to be, but they can still swing just as far.
That is
this
impossible.
Toddler with adult arms is impossible to fight.
My God, you've gone odd job mode.
Just turned him into a battle bot, like one of the wedge ones. Right?
I agree that is the one downside of this plan, the one and only downside of this plan. But it's also something that I got to figure out. That, you know, we got to get there first and then figure out how to deal with this.
You know
so
what I do?
Just,
I would set up a business if we had this where outside of every airplane, it'd be like, hey, pay me $50 and I'll punch you. And you'll be 6 inches shorter and you'll be more comfortable on the airplane. And then on the other end of the flight, somebody else has, hey, pay me $50. You can punch me and you can gain the height back. You can shrink just for flight purposes.
If you punch someone, say, 12 times.
Yeah.
They are now, you know, the average person would be negative heighted.
Yeah, that's when they go
are
into
they underground or are they quantum or what?
What happens
yeah.
to clothes?
Is there an Ant-Man effect here? Do
Ant-Man.
I keep the same strength?
Ant-Man.
An Ant-Man effect? Do I keep the same strength at that level?
Why would you keep the same strength? That doesn't make sense.
That's like the point. That defeats the point of Ant-Man.
Come on. Can you fucking be serious about this? Can you fucking be serious about this?
Spencer, PIM particles aren't real. We're talking about people being negative heighted. Only real things here.
Yeah.
Also, you'd have to really... Airport clothing boutiques, I feel like, would really take off from this because you'd be like Vincent adult manning yourself out of the plane.
Also, I just want you to imagine this crowd of people very deliberately and slowly punching each other in calculating. Paf!
In the airport. Yeah.
Welcome to pow! Indianapolis. Pow!
Boarding group A, you may now all now you know how this gets hijacked though, is every airline is like, oh okay, they're all 12 inches shorter now. We can sell 20 more seats. So now you have to punch each other twice more.
Yeah.
We're going to
keep
going until they have 10,000 seats on every plane. And you have to be punched 10
All
times
right,
just
would
to
you
fit.
Rather fight 12-foot-high hijackers or one enormous stooping hijacker?
One enormous stooping hijacker.
Yeah. Oh, no, wait. This is okay. You just make all the air marshals like 12 feet tall.
But then you sell seating on the air marshal. Like the air marshal lies
down. No, they
down,
just,
yeah.
they allot those bags, compartments that you can't use because they're for the rich people in the front mm-hmm. of the plane. Take those and the air marshals can lie in them.
Or they
like
ride
bunks
on
a train.
Or they ride on top, you know?
Yeah, that's practical. Yeah.
I think the air marshal, if they're 12 feet tall,
Clifford the Big Red Air Marshal.
They just lay in the aisle. They lay in the aisle, and then if anyone is trying to take over the plane, they would trip
Sit
over
down.
Them. And they'd fall very far, and then they'd just give them a bear hug and hold them there.
Sit down!
Up there, whoop-ass class, you need to sit down. I got a taser.
I agree that Clifford was obviously a fed.
In conclusion, that's why Nick Saban got signed to an extension.
Yeah, you say we're getting worse. We went from Nick Saban to giant 12-foot air marshal.
Which point do you think that proves?
You know what?
Okay.
I'm gonna let the hateration slide on down the river. We're gonna keep
Listen,
on going.
But there's an easier way if you're looking for
why
growth.
Why don't you just get yourself a big old Arizona iced tea, Ryan?
If
I'm
you're
just,
looking for growth, simply it. Punch someone.
Or
mm-hmm.
if there's an all I'm saying is there's an easier way to achieve growth other than punching somebody and gaining 6 inches.
Ah, you know what? I think I know exactly what you're talking about. I think you're talking about acorns.com.
I was.
I think you're talking about space.
What?
We are getting worse.
I can scream loud enough to be heard in space.
We are getting worse.
No, acorns.com.
I mean, the bar was really
still.
Low. To
I know,
with,
but
so
that's
is
Jason,
it even noticeable? Is
Jason,
oh, that's how we got up on top of the bar.
That's the alarming part. That's the alarming part is that, like, how? How did we do this?
I mean, at some point, it's, you know, it's when you learn in like, ninth grade physics or whatever. If you keep going halfway to a point, you'll just literally never get there. At this point, mm-hmm. you know, it's like if you're already on the 1 yard line sure. and you go off sides, like, what fucking difference does it make?
The
you
shutdown full cast, you'll never
yeah,
get
it's like
there.
Like Tennessee football.
Yeah,
oh, God.
If we're on the 1 yard line, when your maddened opponent has quit and they're getting delay of game on every play, after an hour of that, what difference does it make, right? Acorns.com/fullcast is your investment starter kit. You simply go to that URL I have listed with my mouth and you download the app. And since you typed it correctly, you will have a $5 starter boost toward your future, your retirement. Holy shit, I just opened my app. What would I do with a $10,000 bonus investment? I don't have time for that right now, Acorn. Stop throwing money at me for free. I'm trying to read an ad. I have hundreds of dollars in my account.
Is slowly being lowered towards a pit of lava.
Because
take this 10 grand.
Jason is reading this in the style of somebody who's in a room with a wall of spikes that's slowly approaching.
$10,000. Jesus Christ, not now, pasta bot. So how it works is nickels and dimes from your purchases go into your Acorns thing, and then investment stuff happens, and you have more money at some point. And holy shit, get to $300 when you get three friends to join by... I'm pretty sure that'll happen. We're doing an ad, so I don't know how to count that toward my credit, Acorns, but you probably should give me my $300. Anyway...
Even give us a discount. So.
Investments go up when you do the Acorns thing. I am still on pace to retire well after age 83, but we are working on whittling it that down.
Yeah, speaking of things that are getting closer and closer and we're never going to hit.
Yeah.
Retirement.
Yeah.
Who wants to retire with work this rewarding?
You're just saying that because you're way closer to retirement age than the rest of us.
Or death. Let's see what comes first.
Death.
The ultimate retirement.
Oh, man.
Acorns.com/fullcast. We're all going to die.
Hey man, listen, I got
you
nice...
know who else recognizes that we're all gonna die? Home field apparel.
Home field apparel. Because your body will wear clothes. Probably.
Oh, yeah.
And they knew what we wanted to lower ourselves into the grave in. And it is layer after layer of the finest, snuggliest LSU branded cotton.
No. But what if I'm going to be buried above ground, Cher? What if I'm going to be put in one of them marble vaults that they got there?
Share me, you son of a bitch.
Above
they got there. That's
we're just going to leave you in the yard.
That is the correct spirit for this upcoming new. Yeah. Well, they might leave you in the yard. Might put you in a marble vault in New Orleans. Okay. Might just put you in that smoker.
Don't you dare die in my yard.
Spencer,
we left Spencer where he wanted to be, at the top of a McDonald's play place.
In a Ronald McDonald costume.
Put it on one of those little horsies with the feet that reach the ground.
At the bottom of the ball pit.
Daddy, what happened to Hamburglar?
He's sleeping.
Well, he fought the law, son, and the law won.
The law in this case is putrescence.
Yeah.
Yes, entropy. Which, going back to this, what's going to be more festive than the Louisiana funeral you can have in LSU gear? That's right, Big News Saturday coming up. The second installment after Notre Dame, I believe, like smashing some records for home.
Yeah, they're number one. They're number one right now, and the Notre Dame collection is so good that I want to emphasize briefly.
Wow.
I considered
I wish
buying
they
a sweatshirt.
This kind of initiative in the charity bowl. Apologies to no one but Mike Golick Jr.
Shouts out Mike Golick Jr.
Who did his best.
Yeah, you look magnificent in those overalls. And your brand new home field apparel.
I don't know why I would associate the University of Notre Dame with charitable giving. Please continue.
Well, somebody's about to give it to him this Saturday because LSU's coming up. Those people?
I think that's against the student honor code.
The LSU honor code. I'm going to say these words just so they come out of my mouth and sound funny. The LSU honor code. Oh, that felt good to say. Home field apparel, comfortable, stylish, unreasonably good Notre Dame gear. That hockey t-shirt was magnificent. What's that offer code?
Fullcast.
There it is.
20% off your first order. Yeah, like they all said, ancient Egyptian pharaohs had to go get cotton liniments and whatever to get wrapped up in. You can just, when it's your time, just put on like 8 home field sweatshirts and your doggers, and you're ready to go off to your eternal reward.
We are on to bold space takes, having paid the bills.
I feel like that was a bold space take.
I'm gonna start, and I want to start with.
It's an hour. It's 57 minutes into this recording.
Mm-hmm.
Spencer's going to start us off.
Hey, Vic. Vic is starting us.
Do you want to explain what we've done here?
Yeah. We asked our listeners for their boldest space takes. And y'all amply supplied us with some of the boldest space takes I have ever seen.
Did we explain this like 40 minutes ago? I can't remember.
We'll explain it again. No way to know.
I'll find out tomorrow when I start to edit this thing.
Vic says, Mercury is a bullshit rock. That's a bold start. Glorified fucking asteroid. Fake planet. Goddamn! Don't hurt him, Vic. Categorize Mercury as a dwarf planet and restore Pluto to its rightful place.
I was not on board until she came in for Pluto, and now I'm listening.
This is not a zero-sum game. Mercury and Pluto have been in the same family before.
Yeah, they got along fine.
They've been in the same room.
But I mean, they keep their distance, but they got along fine for a long time.
Yeah, they're fine.
I appreciate that. By the way, y'all have a lot of opinions about Pluto, and most of you are wrong, but I do appreciate that the absolute coward who said that people who pretend to care about Pluto not being a planet anymore are just pretending. That asshole deleted his tweet, and I appreciate that.
To delete a space take?
I didn't even say anything. I was just like, I'm coming for this person, quietly. And he's already deleted it. Good job, buddy.
I think if we're deleting a planet, let's bring Pluto back into the fold. Pluto minds its business, never hurt anybody. Neptune, my eyes are on you.
Wow.
Neptune is pretty.
Neptune is pretty. But
Neptune,
Neptune looks like Venus is pretty too. Venus we can see with our eyes. Venuses are, I think,
Venus is beige, in terms of the blue planets.
In terms of visuals from our act from where we are, Venus is the prettiest planet. Mars is pretty too, because Mars is, we can see a little bit of red, but
also Venus is an earth tone, and while I'm not a fan of earth tones, I will say they're necessary in a decorating scheme. Galaxy wide,
we got two blue planets. All right, and one of them has a funny name.
Yeah,
we got to keep Uranus. We got to keep Saturn because this Saturn's the coolest looking. We got to keep Jupiter, of course, because Jupiter.
At that point, Neptune's the god of the sea.
Yeah, but Neptune's way far out there, and you know, it's if we're cutting a planet, I'm cutting Neptune. It's basically the same as Uranus,
god,
and it's further away.
I want
to. My second choice to cut would be Mars, but we'll get to Mars. Mars, you'll be dealt with later on.
All right, next week on our season 5 Expanse recap, we're gonna discuss this.
Yeah, Bobby Draper, you might kill me with your Iron Man suit, but it is what it is.
I'm laughing at the idea of you actually just cutting a perfectly good planet because it's blue.
We have two blue planets. The question was,
yeah,
which
got a match pair.
The question was, if we only have 8 and we have to get rid of one in order to welcome Pluto back, I'm putting Neptune on the block.
Spencer's
I'm trading
around.
Neptune
Are
for Pluto.
Are you sure we don't need a backup blue planet? He's going to lose one.
Yeah, I'm going to lose one. Come on, man.
Do we want Pluto back or not?
Not
at the expense of Neptune.
Well, what I don't understand is, like, why is the perspective on this merely one of categorization? I think if we're going to say, like, we're getting rid of X, like, let's bomb it. If we're getting rid of Neptune,
yeah,
let's literally get rid of Neptune.
I mean, what did you think I was saying?
I just want to be clear that that's what we're all
I'm
on
not
that
talking
page.
About painting it space colored so we don't have to look at it.
That would be fun, too, because that then you
be
run into it
fun.
On accident.
Oh shit, we've created some kind of fucking monster. We created Venom, and that's how Venom works in the comics now. He's like this ancient alien creature thing.
Sure.
See, all right, how fun is this talking? This idea sounded better by the minute, right? We've just created Venom. We all like that movie.
We all like that. We just created a homicidal alien symbiote.
Venom
Aren't you happy with
boyfriend.
This? Yeah, that is
that,
the best
that is a planet.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, this is working,
Fuck.
Actually. I'm for it.
We can
sorry.
Write
I'm
this comic
Neptune.
Book. Well, wait, why is this not a good in-between? Like, Neptune's no longer a planet. It's a living symbiote.
Yeah. And it's Pluto's job to keep an eye on it.
I'm
so that's why
I'm
Pluto is back around.
I'm hesitant to anger the god of the seas. What can I
okay.
say?
Okay. That's fair.
I'm just going to put this out there. There's nothing keeping us from selling the naming rights to a planet.
Man, we're going to ruin the shit out of this universe so fast.
Nothing is stopping us from calling Neptune like Amazon Web Services the planet. Nothing.
No, it's got to be something more ephemeral than that. It's got to be like NCIS New Orleans.
The planet.
The planet.
Yeah, I'll agree to just about any name change for a planet, but you have to put the planet after it.
Plus, that way, we can keep the mnemonic, my very educated mother just, you know, whatever, because you get to Neptune, and it's still an N. NCIS, New Orleans, the planet.
Star Trek Reboot 5, Carl Urban gets drunk on weird planets.
Damn it, Jim! God damn it, Jim!
I'm on the margarita planet again!
It's great!
It's great! This movie has no conflict! I'm happy! For 90 minutes! Just getting hammered with Taika Waititi! It's amazing!
Make out. Make out.
We can do that! We have 89 minutes left in this movie! And no conflict! I'm gonna make out with Taika.
Okay, folks, that's our show.
So Jordan has
who's that?
A bold space take.
It's K. getting worse. What we're watching here is orbital decay. We're watching the shutdown forecast slowly re-enter Earth's atmosphere and burn up.
Is anybody else concerned about the half-life on this program?
The first
does feel like we're speeding
Jordan
up.
Jordan says, the first days upon return to Earth for extremely fit astronauts sound so miserable and difficult that I can't see civilian space travel being a thing.
Just makes it funnier.
This is the completely wrong attitude, because for extremely fit astronauts, it's no fun because it's like, oh, look at all this muscular atrophy. If you are not fit and you go to space, like what's there to change?
What if you're already there?
Right.
I was fit, and now I feel so weak, as opposed to somebody who's just like, I was made for weightlessness.
Yeah. I think this is a good idea.
My whole body's made of hot Takis and Monster Energy drink. I'm basically perfectly engineered for this environment.
Mm-hmm.
It's awesome. HDC Anderson, space smells awful.
Can somebody else have a turn?
That's why we need, yeah, we'll do it. But that's why we need to wear the shoes.
That's a good idea.
Fuck. Well,
yeah. Not
this
the
is a good one.
Vacuum, but the smell. That space
the smell,
smells.
Space smells bad.
Awful.
I mean, yeah. Look at it.
Yeah, no, that's got to smell bad.
That's why we got the ozone layer. We think it's to protect us from UV rays. Nope, it's to keep Earth fresh.
What is causing the smell in space?
What wouldn't cause the smell in space?
I mean, think about it. Where do cow farts go?
Into space.
Yeah.
Shit. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's where that goes too.
All bad smells go to space.
Just like all dogs go to heaven, but all dog shit goes to space.
Goes to space. That's right.
When the astronauts shit in the spaceship and they throw it out the window, right?
Right.
They dump the bucket out the window, and then now all that is in space too. Right? And then think about all the aliens also doing that, you know? Like, you go to the lake and it's like, oh, God, I don't want to pee here. And then you're like, oh, millions of fish have done the same. That's how space works.
This is why the universe is constantly expanding. It's just farts. Farts just...
Yeah, farts make just... the compression is pushing everything outward.
Right.
Jason, I love that you've taken an episode of Cosmos and forced a hypothetical Neil deGrasse Tyson in that little spaceship to go, and out here, a vast sea of farts.
There's the gif everyone likes where his mind is being blown. That's just like, woo, caught a bad solar flare, so to speak.
Oh, hey, Ryan, how about you do one?
Sure. This is from That G Kinnett. Nope. That geek in it. Good job, me. Hardly anyone is actually going to live on Mars, but there will be a little dome there with 100 million shell corporations registered to its address for tax avoidance purposes.
I read this one, I think, right after I read the one about renaming planets, and I think that's what colored my expectations that renaming planets was going to go so badly.
Yeah, this will, like... DraftKings Mars probably tomorrow. Right?
So,
right?
I think what the listener is proposing is that we've created Space Delaware.
Yes. Ooh, yeah. Or it's actually what I think it actually is more of is like Space Virgin Islands.
That sounds more scenic for
sure. Yeah, I'm actually a little surprised nobody's done this yet.
That we know of.
Right.
I also don't think there's anything stopping us from just doing it ourselves.
Well, so here's the thing.
Who has the authority to tell us no?
I think to get away with this, you couldn't just put a building there. You would have to put a person.
You don't have an office on Mars. Fucking prove it.
A robot couldn't do it, Ryan?
I think you would need a person to serve as your agent of service. This is me like pulling out the corporation's knowledge that I remember my worst class in law school. But what that means is that for like when, you know, Google and Amazon and Microsoft are all like, okay, we're doing this. This is awesome. This is great for us. They will find one person and they will say, listen, we're going to send you to Mars. You have to stay there forever by yourself. And
Matt Damon.
And if you ever get a fax, you have to take it. But in exchange, we're going to pay you like, what, $50 million?
No, Matt Damon's already rich.
And he has a lot of making up to do.
I'm sorry. Do you think Matt Damon is passing up 50 mil?
Matt Damon can make 50 mil in more interesting ways. My question is, Spencer, what is your price?
He can still make movies while he's up there.
If like the six biggest companies in the world come to you and say, Spencer, we want you to be our representative on Mars. You have to go there by yourself. How much money do you need to make that happen? Understanding that like your ability to spend that money yourself is extremely limited once you leave.
Let's see. It takes like 9 months to get there.
Sure.
Like around there. It takes like 9 months round trip to get there. How long do I have to be there?
Forever. You never come home.
But you'll get to die outside like you want.
Ooh, yeah.
It's hard to die more outside than that. Where did you die? I died Mars. In the cow fart. I died in the cow fart cold of space. No. No.
No.
Why not?
No.
Come on, man.
I wouldn't.
Quitter.
I know. I wouldn't.
This,
you know,
this, no like wonder what? Restaurants are having trouble hiring with Spencer won't even accept $100 million to go to Mars.
This wants to mooch off unemployment.
Fuck.
This guy at Hardee's is going out of business because this guy isn't willing to die on Mars.
God, what an asshole.
I'll underbid Spencer. I'll do it for $1 trillion.
Good.
What are you going to do?
No, I'm sorry, Spencer. We've already moved on from you, okay?
You're out of the running, pal. Now my daughter is extremely rich. So.
Yeah.
And I'm the first person to die on Mars.
You're the first person to do so much on Mars.
Yeah. I'm the first person to do literally everything on Mars.
Yep.
I'm going to do shit I don't even like doing just to say I'm the first person to do it on Mars.
How loyal is Mars? Like how many
I'm
going
to play golf on
last?
Mars just to ruin it for everyone else
just,
who wants
just,
to go first.
Oh,
to do it.
Man. That's going to piss
oh, man,
so many astronauts
golf
off.
Ever on Mars.
Yep.
But here's a major that Tiger's never won.
Yeah. Take that, Tiger.
Bryson DeChambeau prepping for the Mars Open. Oh, God.
Oh, man. He did it so fucking far.
Bouncing in moon boots behind Brooks.
He'd blast that thing 900 yards.
Brooks is like, this course is stupid.
Hate it here.
Hate you, Bryson DeChambeau. And he's like, yeah.
What if we... Wait, no, this is better. What if we sent the two of them to Mars together?
Fuck.
Well, I think Brooks would have eaten him in 3 days.
For the
you
protein.
It's take 3 days? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Jason, why don't you take a turn in space?
Let's see here. So let's see. Speaking of Mars, let's get right to it. A lot of people wrote in to note that terraforming Mars is a really stupid idea. Valley shook of the internet. Terraforming Mars is always a fool's errand. Could not agree more. This is quite possibly the dumbest idea in human history to develop the technology and the industry and the resources and so on and so forth to change an entire planet, ignoring the fact that we already have a better one right in front of us. Beneath us at all times. It's hard to imagine a dumber idea. Terraforming Jupiter, I guess, would be a dumber idea, but people aren't like already throwing millions of dollars at that. So
are we into it because it's a cool sounding word?
Yeah, 100%. Nobody wants to be against something that
like if we were like we're gonna moisten Mars, everybody would be like, oh, pull the funding, gross, fucking stupid. Yeah. I hate
well,
it.
Well, then a bunch of deviants would be very into it. Right. So, like, it would find an audience. And honestly, that is a less stupid idea. Like, dumping water on Mars. Okay. So, we're trying to see if water will stay.
Sure.
You know, there would actually be something to it.
Yeah. So you're saying I should get government funding to crash a rocket full of water into Mars?
Yeah. Follow your dreams.
Thanks, man.
Dude. Get it sponsored by Coors.
And you know what?
Get it sponsored by Arizona Iced Tea. We're going to take one of those tall cans, and we're going to see how much of Mars that can moisten.
Oh, my God. It turns out, with a giant can of Arizona green tea, life bloomed on Mars in 5 years.
Just one cloud of Skittles, and, you know, like the old Skittles commercials. Yes.
Intelligent life developed in 17 years, and they won an ACC title.
We seeded it with Mountain Dew Code Red. Dude, the sickest dirt bike track popped up.
That probably is the most popular Mountain Dew on Mars, just considering the redness.
Yeah. Mm. Hey, it's always Code Red on Mars, baby.
The best part is because because Jason has $1 trillion, he can fund my Moist Mars expedition. So.
I would say I'll look into it, but rubber stamping approval. I like the I like the name.
You seem confident.
I like the cut of your jib. Here's $1 billion. Make Mars as moist as you possibly do. Your fucking worst.
The best part would be when we did it, and like, you know, we have like a rover there to catch the footage. Whatever, we send drones, and like huge explosion of water, tidal wave, whatever. We're like, yeah. And then within minutes, it's just like a sponge, just evaporating, going back to dry. Like, God damn it!
That was fucking sick. Do it again. But it cost $1 billion.
Yeah, but it was awesome.
It was great.
Do it twice. Do it twice at once.
Oh, fuck. It turns out Mars turns into a big puffy dinosaur when you cover it in water.
So here's what we're going to do. We're gonna dig a really big hole, and we're going to put an in-ground pool, and you dump the water in that.
Yep.
The only thing native to Mars, and it just needed water to blossom, and that's ticks. Just ticks everywhere.
Daddy, why is there a Clemson Tiger Paw lazy river on the moon?
Just give me lots of standing water, and we'll grow Mars mosquitoes.
Mosquitoes.
You cut the feed halfway through this venture, though, right? Like, hey, man, look, the water's here. Cut. Gonna need another $100 billion.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, look, it worked. Send more money. Yeah.
Yep.
Just go ahead and wire. But my question.
Oh, look, something's crawling out of the water. Yeah.
All right. Send in the jet ski rocket. Send in the rocket full of jet skis.
The rocket is a jet ski.
It is a jet ski, and so it is full of jet skis.
That way it doesn't have to actually deploy any sort of apparatus to land. Just
yeah, it's more, the it's water more of
an instant fun.
It's more of a xenomorph queen. It just creates thousands of new jet skis.
Oh, that's sick.
With its ovipositor.
Bro, listen, we've created.
Dude, I got a fucking jet ski face hugger on me. This is sick. It's trying to fill my belly full of jet skis.
Oh, sweet. A jet ski just burst out of my chest. Bro.
That's sick. All right, something's been bothering me about this whole discussion. Isn't the spirit of Mars more conducive to an above ground pool than an in ground?
Hmm.
That's a good question.
And are there gravitational considerations that we should be making?
Yeah, I'm just worried about if it ruptures, because if too many people are in it jumping around and stuff, because then we've lost all the water for good.
Fuck!
You know what?
Actually, though, if we do this enough, then if we rupture enough above ground pools, we will create an atmosphere. Like, we will create, you know, a better atmosphere.
That's how
we're
going
to need a shitload of water to do it. We're going to cover Mars in above ground pools, and then we will cannonball into them one by one until we have created an atmosphere.
This is not too dissimilar, I'm not joking, from how they made Las Vegas.
See? We've already got a model. A proven model for how we're going to make this happen.
I mean, if people can inhabit Las Vegas, okay, fine. Terraforming Mars isn't that bad of a deal.
my question is this. How many minutes is Mars loyal? Like, once Mars gets water and figures out how to make its own food.
Loyal to whom?
Earth.
The planet?
It's not loyal to us now.
The planet itself?
No, like the people on it, right?
Oh.
If you get 20 people who are
okay.
Yeah, if we
now
like
this is the Expanse again.
Yeah, Spencer hasn't seen it yet. He didn't want to watch it.
Yeah, but like that happens in a minute.
He said everybody talked too fast.
Okay.
Do they have Hulu on Mars? Because they'll be loyal if they need our Hulu passwords.
Streaming is the only thing that's. It takes like 38 minutes.
Streaming is the only thing that's bonding many people here on Earth.
That's
I thought
true.
You were going to say here on this podcast, which is also true. Thank you, Ryan, for your HBO Max login.
You're very welcome.
That was very nice of you.
Yeah. Holly, have you done one?
What? No, of course not.
Okay, please do one.
Because Spencer's in the room. All right, I'm gonna take Justin's, who is Drifter1717 on Twitter. Don't really need to go up there. None of our business, to be honest.
I approve.
Don't really need to go up there.
I like this.
None of our business.
If Justin's, you know, got a TV that the aliens key in on, and they're like, "We'll send him the distress call." It'll come in, and he's just quietly going to turn the TV off. Be like, nope.
I'm trying to imagine Justin in Independence Day, the movie. Mm-hmm. When they're like, it's coming from the moon. And he just, like, adjusts his hat further down on his head and keeps mowing the lawn.
Nope.
Can't see it.
Got not going to worry about it.
Must be a wrong number.
The best part is, you know, there are people
like I don't agree, but I respect this approach.
The best part is, you know, there's people in 1969 who, when the moon landing's happening, are like, what else is on?
Tawdry.
That is a good point. Like, I want to know the TV ratings of everything that was competing against the moon landing.
Everything that wasn't the moon landing.
There's some fucking like racist sitcom on at the same time.
I'm telling you, my grandfather got home and was like, what? Gunsmoke's not on?
What is this shit? Get the TV. This looks like crap.
That astronaut looks like a Democrat.
This Western sucks. That's a fake flag. You can tell.
You need to get Dragnet on. Put Dragnet back on. I don't know what this is. None of my business. All this space shit. And in that moment, you'd have to respect him because you're like, yeah, man. I get it.
This actually serpentines into another one from Elizabeth, who is Sal_Corugata on Twitter. I think it's Italian, which is why I said it funny. There's no way we haven't been back to the moon in 40 years. Something's happening up there. And I like this because I feel like even on this show, the conspiracy theories regarding the lack of a moon landing have run their course as far as jokes go, mm-hmm. and we need to go as far as we can in the opposite direction for the next cycle.
Yeah.
I love this.
Yeah. What is going on up there, do we think?
What if we can't? Like, what if it's a thing where, like, NASA won't tell anybody, but they're just like, holy shit, every moon landing, we just got totally lucky. We didn't mean to. We didn't really know what we were doing. We just, like, got lucky, and we can't replicate it.
Like, we didn't write it down.
Like, you know how sometimes out of nowhere you'll do something very athletic, like you'll be amazing. No. Okay, God, fuck.
I do.
So
not
Ryan,
know
when
that.
Is the last time you were like, "Holy shit, I'm so athletic"?
I remember exactly when this happened. I was in the Vox Media New York offices. It was at the end of the day. I was talking to Seth.
That would make me feel athletic, actually.
I was talking to Seth Rosenthal, sweet Knicks basketball.
Oh, so you two
player.
Were like doing slam dunks and stuff.
We had a basketball hoop in the office. I was sitting at my desk holding the basketball that went with it.
Are you saying you were literally working in the lab late one night?
Yes.
Is that your defense?
He said, I bet you can't make it from there from your seat because I had to shoot it over a hanging light to do it. And I said, if I do, you have to give me all the money in your wallet. I somehow sunk this basket. And he looked at me and he said, well, it turns out I have $78 in my wallet today. I did not take it from him, though. I did not take it from him because I felt
that. Ryan, he's never going to learn.
No, that's fair.
Yeah, that's why
it's fair that he's never going to learn. Yeah, that's
no.
Fair.
This
that's
is why you're not a basketball champion, because Michael Jordan would have taken it from him.
That's true.
Michael Jordan would have left Seth in the Bahamas.
Yeah.
I just, like, is it possible NASA just can't do it?
Yeah, there got to be some Spencers up there.
I think they got there with some Spencers. Yeah, I totally meant to do this. Mm-hmm. It's fine. We could do it again. Mm.
Have y'all seen, did y'all see, I think it was last year when they asked NASA's social media Twitter account, this is a great anecdote already, said, do you remember where you were? The day of the moon landing, and Buzz Aldrin did the only good quote tweet in human history, like he's not accomplished enough. And he quote tweeted this and was like, yeah, I was on the moon.
man.
So beautiful.
I would like to take this one from U-Blender. U-Blender, this is space adjacent. My grandmother died earlier this year. Sorry for your loss, son.
That's not a take.
At her funeral, my batty aunt spoke about life on other planets. I remembered why I don't see that side of the family very often. This is a space take. I think this
U-Blender sounds like a fun person to have at funerals.
I think this is the coolest aunt ever.
Yeah, you're definitely not invited to my funeral, dude, but your aunt is.
Yeah. That the aunt just got up there and saw her moment, was like, everyone's going to be way too polite, and I got some thought on aliens. We're just going to lay them all out, because y'all can't get me out of here, because it's a funeral. And I'll process this grief later, but in the meantime, let's talk about the hot cube theory.
Yeah, this aunt has never given you weed for a reason, because she knows that you suck.
I think talking about the aliens could be a way of processing. I don't see why not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We all process grief differently. Maybe I need to talk about the time cube.
Haven't you ever seen Contact?
Time cubes to love.
Whole thing's about aliens processing grief. So.
Yeah, this is cool. I think this is awesome. Your aunt rules. Yeah. U-Blender. Revise your, if your opinion is in the least negative of her, revise it.
Yep, correct that immediately.
She saw her moment and she took it.
This is from at TDTFerg on Twitter.
Like a bank.
Yeah, it does a little bit. Space travel is every road trip dad's wet dream. Endless driving for you to point out obvious thing. Hey, an asteroid field is the new look cows, with the only downside being dad can't roll the windows down instead of cranking the AC.
He said wet.
He did say wet dream. That's part. Wet dream is a big. That's a big part of the Moist Mars project.
Can we first normalize just dropping wet dream into conversation?
Like this would be pretty funny if it was just dream, but
nope.
Boy, that takes it to a whole other level.
How good of a dream? So good he ejaculated in his sleep, friend.
I had another dream about space travel.
Why does this become a normal thing to say?
Not just anyone's, but a dad's wet dream.
Yeah.
God.
Is space travel the ultimate road trip?
There's no road.
So there's no road. Do you think astronauts say things like, "Oh, we're making great time"?
Yeah. No.
Is that a thing?
John Glenn 1000% did this.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's the other reason why it's the ultimate road trip. There's nowhere to stop. Like, if the purpose of a road trip is from a dad's perspective is to make great time, there's never traffic. There's nowhere to stop. If something goes wrong, it goes so wrong that the road trip is over permanently. Yeah, it is actually a pretty. I mean, I'm not going to say wet dream again, except I just did.
Quick trip in space.
Wow.
Wow.
That's what we're going to build on Mars, by the way.
Oh yeah. Got first thing, iced tea bar.
You know, the first thing I thought was if something goes.
Get some of those little hot dogs on rollers.
If someone's got to pee or poop, it's a pain in the ass and dad doesn't want to stop. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You know when he wants to stop?
Hmm.
When someone pees.
Yeah.
Spaceship's got bathrooms on it. Yeah, this is perfect for the
dad.
Yeah,
but it's like a thing. You got to. If you miss some of it, you got to chase it around the capsule with the tube, trying to suck it back in. Yeah. This is not.
Are you talking about wet dreams again?
Dad's wet dreams.
Jason, why don't you take the turn? No!
With some.
No, tiger tongue!
With some Creed.
No!
With some Creed in the background.
No!
When you are with.
Absolutely
me,
not.
Free.
See, I thought it was going to be Michael McDonald, but that's fine.
He's doing the unblinking eye contact.
Not in the anymore. Keep forgetting. Yeah, Jason, go ahead.
Oh, are we done with? Are we done with?
Yeah, we're done with Dad's wet dream.
Dad's wet.
We're
space
done with
dream.
A lot of things.
Let's see.
Dad's
from
done with it at least.
Bunky Perkins. Speaking of, black holes get a bad rap. Folks, black holes are, so it's scariest thing in the universe as far as we know. Sure, great. But first of all, black holes. All right, point in their favor. How else would Matthew McConaughey travel through time to his daughter's bookshelf? Think about that. It's very selfish of those who want to get rid of black holes. We'd be rid of Matthew McConaughey. Who wants that? The other thing is, like, you know, we don't really know exactly what they're there for, but some of the smartest people in the world have theorized that perhaps these things contain universes within themselves. The multiverse could be a network of black holes. Our entire universe, we could be inside of a black hole. Actual very, very, very smart people theorize this. Everything we know of could be nothing but the dead center of a black hole. Endless, limitless mystery. And how funny is it that it's nothing but this thing that sucks, right? It's perfect. Black holes are perfect. Nothing in all of nature is more mysterious and, you know, endlessly mysterious, but also, like, you can just sum it up in a sentence. Like, everything we know is part of something that sucks, and that's perfect.
Okay, when you put it like that.
Full agree.
Holly?
Okay. In Star Wars, says... says user Rapino Grigio at That's Ballin. In Star Wars, explosions make noise, and they need to burn fuel to maintain speed, which means there must be air in space to create friction. So, since it happened a long time ago, there used to be air in space, but something happened that took all the air away. Boys, wow. What do we reckon that was?
Farts.
Someone lit a match.
Burned all the air.
Yeah, burned all the fart gas up.
Yeah, I'll say flat.
What fucked up all the air in space? Where did all the air in space
Falcon
go?
Fart
I like this so much better than being a flat earther. being a space has air guy.
Space has air. Space doesn't have an air. Does too.
Where'd all the air go? I think you know where it all went is Jupiter. Jupiter's just a big
Ergo.
Ball of gas.
Sucking it up.
Yeah. Why is Jupiter so fat? Because it's hiding all the air. So we go up to Jupiter with a needle and we pop Jupiter and then space has air again.
Oh, here's what I bet.
Okay.
In the Star Wars universe, at the end of whatever, wherever we are now, the people of this universe get super into scuba diving and they start bottling all of the space air for scuba diving. And that is what makes space eventually airless.
Oh, we got space Nestle.
Mm-hmm.
However, we must also remember it's a galaxy far, far away. The air is all on their side of the universe.
So maybe, you're saying they have all the air and we have none, and the air just hasn't gotten here and will?
It's possible, or it's possible we need to find them and invade them. Those bastards stole our air.
Fuck.
Gerbs.
I will say I want to believe this because the funniest moments in any cartoon or show about space are the ones where they completely break with any sense of reality whatsoever and just have somebody go out without a helmet into space. Just like the Thundercats just chilling in space like
the Thundercats did nothing wrong. How dare you?
You can survive in space for a few seconds.
Oh, no, wait, yeah, I'm thinking of Silverhawks. Keep going.
You can survive in space for, I think it's 30 to 90 seconds.
As
it won't
long
be
as,
fun.
Yeah, as long as you hold your breath super good.
Super good. I'm going to need the little nose clips from the pool before I go out there.
It's going to suck. Like, but
that's true of anything. You can jump in a volcano, and as long as you hold your breath super good, you'll be okay for a little bit.
I think saying
yeah, you don't want to come back with lava lump.
And you describing it as super good is really the thing that makes this convincing advice.
Darth Vader was fine.
What is the reboot show? What is the show that reboots the moon missions history that the Soviets get there first?
The Morning Show.
Yes, Morning Show.
Friends.
South
Friends.
Monday Night Football.
I'm not making it up. It's on Apple TV.
Yep. The
Spencer, it's For All Mankind.
Thank you. For All Mankind.
Huffily pulling out his laptop.
Don't make me look. Don't make Dad so look up a thing.
The season finale of For All Mankind.
We wouldn't waste time on this show, would we, Spencer?
For All Mankind season finale had a scene where they run across the moon without helmets.
Oh, hell yes.
How far?
Oh, pretty far. I think it's like, that's awesome. Like they're supposed to. Yeah.
Wait, is this like for funsies?
Yeah, no, this is not for funsies.
Oh, okay.
That would be my show about the moon, where it's like, oh, dude, I bet you can't do it. No, this is apparently not for funsies.
This is like Super Troopers, but the moon.
Super Troopers, but the moon. Yeah, exactly. Dude, you made it 90 seconds. That's so awesome. His blood only kind of boiled. Yeah.
It's not how the moon works.
It's just, it's just a simmer.
It's just a light simmer. But that made me want to watch the whole show because I just want to see the scene where they run across the moon with no helmets.
But they're Russian. So, like,
you love us.
Blood is half vodka. It'll be fine.
Up there setting up the first pedophile satanic pizzeria on the moon.
I mean, I think it's. I think the
Listener,
reason I.
You will notice Spencer Hall did not deny this.
I think the reason I love the Soviet space program so much is because their entire motto is "Sorry to this man, but I'm built different." That's the whole thing, right?
Like, yeah.
Maybe. for instance, this will segue into the one I wanted to do about Venus.
Oh, thank God.
Which is that comes from Price? Yeah, or Dylan Carlson Ovi Nosgard. Which is, God bless the Soviets for going to Venus. Absolute maniacs. That's right. Because the Soviets didn't just go to Venus. They didn't just send a probe or two, okay? And go, I don't know, let's give it a thought. No, to the most hostile environment on any single planet, okay? Oppressive 800-degree temperatures. Like, absolute zero chance of any machinery functioning successfully. No real benefit. Because you can't get anything off Venus. They just wanted to know what was in the most hostile looking, angry, khaki planet in our solar system.
Venus is a khaki planet. Oh, you're talking about Venus. I wasn't listening.
They didn't just
send, you don't like it, do you?
They didn't just send one probe. They sent 13 probes.
They didn't just send one probe.
They actually sent 16 and then sent additional Vega probes there. 10 of them made it. Some of them only functioned for 23 minutes. Some of them lasted as long as 2 hours. All of them were destroyed by Venus, and they just kept sending more.
All of them were destroyed by Venus.
What a fantastic view. And when they got there, all of the scientific results basically said the same thing. Venus sucks. Like what? Yeah, everything's made of acid, fire, and lightning. It's a horrible place.
Made of acid, fire, lightning.
I also like, I'm looking at the Wikipedia, and for many of these, it's like, the lander got there, it landed successfully, but then the lens caps didn't release on the cameras. So it's like, fuck!
We landed a fucking spaceship in hell, but the cameras didn't work.
Fuck.
Great job.
Vasily.
This is an actual plot point in Sky Captain and the World of Tomorrow.
Is
oh,
it?
Shit.
The lens cap's on.
Yeah, that's what they, that's, I just love some guy back there like, Vasily, you get it all the way to Venus and you can't design a fucking lens cap. I know.
So I do it again.
I forgot.
Like we said, there's Spencers in every space program.
Send Veneras 12, 13, and 14.
Release all of them.
That's not a joke. They were like, well, Venera 1 failed, and they were like, send Veneras 2 through 16.
By the time we actually, like, by the time we land a robot on Venus or whatever, it's going to look around and find like 8 drunk bears singing the Russian national anthem.
Uh-huh.
Like, I think they have successfully claimed Venus, whatever it is that's down there.
Ain't fair.
What do we have? Acid lightning.
Dibs.
They were like, you could,
dibs.
Yeah, you could hit the moon a little bit, or maybe Mars. No, acid lightning planet. That's what we want.
I mean, if you're from Siberia. It's just nice to feel warm by any means
necessary.
That is
true. 800 degrees, you say? Well, sounds pretty nice to me.
I'm going to do my last two real quick. First from user fuck this guy, except the C comes before the U. All of the Rock's finishing moves would be impossible in zero gravity. Perhaps. I have quibbles. so the Rock...
Yeah.
The rock bottom, of course, this is when the rock picks someone up and the rock lands on his own torso while dropping the other person on their back. Somehow this harms the person who landed on their back more because the rock has charisma. He's very excited about it. That's why. This is possible. You just lunge toward a wall or something. There's also, a modified version. You just point them at the ground, use your arm, and it might be even easier in zero gravity. So I think that one can work. The people's elbow, of course, is a glorified elbow drop, emphasis on the glorified. It's going to take a while to get there. It's not going to hurt very badly. So I agree with that one. The people's elbow will not finish anyone in space. But we're overlooking the sharpshooter. The rock has a horrific sharpshooter, horrific as in very bad and unimpressive looking, but he will bend the person's leg back, and it has ended a match before. It's been a long time. Very few people agreed to tap out to the rock sharpshooter because it looks so weak and unimpressive, but it counts as a finishing move, and it would work in any environment known to humanity, including zero gravity. Also from that Shaggy Matt on Twitter, why is it that when people time travel in movies, they don't just end up in space? The Earth is in constant motion. It wasn't where you were when you jumped.
Apparently, this has bothered me since he sent it.
Actual,
I've been thinking about this all day.
Actual smart persons have looked into this and calculated that, you need to account for the Earth's spinning speed. You need to account for the Earth flying through space. You need to account for the Earth's irregular orbit. The Earth's orbit isn't just this perfectly straight circle. You need to account for the fact our entire solar system is flying, our entire galaxy is flying, and there's background radiation and so on and so forth. This scientist of some sort calculated that basically you have a 1 in a trillion shot of landing exactly where you want to be, and that's even if time travel works.
And John Rhys Davies is not what he seems.
So
in many ways, that's true.
You got to be really fucking good at math and shit.
And jumping.
Doc Brown got it. It's fine.
Like, imagine if you're just 1 inch off and like, oh, shit, my arm is in a brick wall, right? I was thinking about this and like maybe the only way to do it is just to go ahead and plan for like really broad and general and just like you reappear and you're in the sky and we got to catch you. We have like firefighters running around with a trampoline.
I like how that adds like a group participation element to the whole thing.
Yeah, because like it's too risky to have you reappear on the ground if we're off by a foot. You might be buried in pavement. So just give us some buffer and have you reappear in the sky and we can...
What I'm hearing is time travel blimp.
Yeah, and you could just bounce from blimp to blimp until
you...
Holly, you
weren't going
to
say time travel blimp, were you?
Amazingly, no. I was going to say it sounds like what you're saying is the only truly safe place on Earth is space.
Fuck.
Yeah, so if we put them in a spacesuit and then they reappear out there, and then maybe we find them, maybe we don't.
And we could outfit the spacesuits to be inflatable. Basically, you got to treat astronauts like the eggs in Egg Drop. Did y'all do Egg Drop?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, what was your strategy in Egg Drop?
We rigged up kind of a little. We had a suspension bridge situation. So we attempted to, like those things at the mall that you strap your kid into and it goes up with a little gyroscope?
Yeah.
Have you seen those like huge contraptions in the mall? It was like that. We wanted the egg to be like hanging out in the middle of like a popsicle stick cube, but kind of bouncy.
I am stuck. Okay. I am now stuck on the idea of Back to the Future, opening the big scene where Marty McFly first travels through time. And instead of showing up in 1955 Hill Valley, he's immediately ejected into the middle of space, suffocates within minutes, and the credits roll.
But it's 1955. it's 1955, which means there goes a Russian dog zooming past him like, at 1,000 miles an hour.
The fuck is this guy doing?
Stupid vest, dog.
I think so. The main thing about time travel is just launch them back wherever. Don't even worry about location because we're going to miss it by 1,000 miles, but put really bright lights on them so we can.
But we agree Stargate is settled science, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's okay. Done. Cool. Those are real.
If he'd landed in 1955 instead of Chuck Berry, we could have had the song they danced to be 16 Tons by Tennessee Ernie Ford.
Yeah, that'd be better.
I don't hate it.
Yeah. Also, I'm laughing at the idea of being stuck in a DeLorean in space. Or maybe just hitting re-entry, right? Like, oh man, I'm in space. Oh, it's okay. I'm going back down to the ground.
Oh, shit.
This would count as a giant success. Yep. Like getting that close to Earth.
Yeah, right.
That's a big deal. Also, one other one that we should read. I don't know if it's on anyone's list. Just a shout out to TZAM2299. Space is only 62 miles away, so as a Midwesterner, I think driving there is a reasonable option. I don't have any further jokes because that is already perfect.
If you've made it this far, I wanted to end the show on
forever
a completely different note, which is that we have two people to say goodbye to who are members of the Fullcast family, listeners adjacent, two very cool people we wanted to just mention and talk about a little bit. Holly?
I would like to dedicate this long and rowdy episode to Dave Larimer, who was a sports editor at the Washington Post, who passed away just a few weeks ago. I'm going to catch feelings here for a minute because this is a guy who listened to the show, and I didn't find out that he listened to the show until after he was gone. And he was a fan of our work. He bought the t-shirt, according to one of his family members. So I just wanted to send all of our love and idiocy to Dave, who I hope is listening. Perhaps in space, right here as we speak. Appreciate you, buddy.
Yeah. Stuck with us through all of the Nebraska jokes, too.
God, seriously,
which
man.
Which is super impressive for a diehard Cornhuskers fan. Mm-hmm. He probably appreciated them, though. The other guy that we've said goodbye to was also unexpected. Oscar Pope was, listen, just the coolest guy. Friend of the program, a marketing manager for the NBA on TNT here in town, close friend of another great deceased friend of the show, Ed Ashoff. Oscar Pope meant so much to the NBA on TNT crew that they did a beautiful tribute to him, Ernie Johnson, on air, talking about everything he meant to the show because he was so much more than a marketing manager and did a lot not only to make the show better and was a fantastic coworker, but also really pushed for a more inclusive workplace at the NBA on TNT, and like got student journalists interviewing like Chris Paul on air from HBCUs. Just the coolest dude. And it was fun to have a little cameo in Oscar Pope's life. I was at the ATL United championship game with him, and there were a lot of happy people that night, but everybody was a little bit happier when Oscar was around. So he will be missed, and David will be missed.
They're
Ad Astra.
Missed.
Yep. Ad Astra per Aspera.